Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today doctrines. We're talking about biblical doctrines, doctrines that divide. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. What are your positions on some of these subjects that we're talking about today? For example, some of the most controversial of these doctrines: baptism, the Lord's Supper, speaking in tongues, faith and works, free will versus predestination, signs, miracles, and wonders, tithing, dispensationalism. And I could go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the doctrines that divide. And there are a number of folks today that, because of misunderstanding, misbelief in the inerrancy, the infallibility, and the inspiration of Scripture, they wanted to get a little bit rambunctious in what they believe and teach, as I'm putting it politely. How is a person saved? Is it good works, or is it through faith by grace, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross? It is for by grace are you saved, not through faith. It's not of yourself, but it's gift of God, lest any man should boast, the Scripture says. Is the Old Testament valid for today? Is it outdated? Is it of no use for modern man, as some teach? And we'll talk about Andy Stanley in a moment, his beliefs. What about biblical eschatological doctrine? Will Jesus return bodily? Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus Christ returned in 1975. They say that he returned in the Spirit, so therefore we don't see him. Yet the Scripture says every eye shall see him when he returns, ladies and gentlemen. As the sun shineth from the east to the west, so also shall be in the time of the coming of the Son of Man, Matthew 24, verse 27. That is, when Jesus Christ comes, every eye shall see him. Not he's coming back, but he'll be a phantom, and no one sees him. That's not the case at all, but there are many that's teaching that today. Eschatological, biblical, doctrinal truths, that is, prophetic text, there's probably more consternation ginned up in Christian churches and in belief systems, biblical belief systems, because of so many having so many different opinions on what the Scripture says. It's not a matter of opinion. It's looking at the Scripture in context. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, one of the problems that causes these doctrinal divisions would be people taking a verse of Scripture or 2 or 3 verses of Scripture and building an entire theology on that, rather than looking at the totality of the Word of God. From Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation is the chronology of God's revelation of man, of God's revelation of himself to man. And if we try to go in and pick and choose what we want to believe, we can build doctrine. For example, people will go to the book of Acts and we'll try to build doctrine from the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a transitional book. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Apostle, between the Old and the New Testament. It's building that bridge, if you will, from Old Testament dispensational truth to the New Testament dispensational truth. But yet people will take that and try to build theological doctrinal belief on it. Another doctrine that divides is the Holy Spirit just a force. May the force be with you. If you look at Star Wars, is the Holy Spirit a person? Is the Holy Spirit a separate God? Do we serve 3 gods, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Or do we have a triune God? It is called the Trinity, the triunity of the Godhead. Is hell real? Is it a real place? Does hell really exist today? Will anybody really go to hell? Well, good people go to hell. A lot of good people are going to die and go to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter of being good. It's a matter of knowing God through Jesus Christ. Will God send a sodomite to hell? A number of years ago, we had on the marquee out front that all sodomites are going to die and go to hell unless they repent. You would have thought we'd shot the president because we've got so much consternation from the news media and from others that we're all upset by it. Well, a lot of good people are going to die and go to hell. Just being good won't save you. It is having a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, there's a need to understand what the Scripture says and place our faith and trust in the Scripture and not in what someone might think or say in relationship to that. But what does the Scripture say? That's the key to it. That's the main thing that we need to understand today. I believe we have a call on the line. Give me the question or the comment, please.
As I look at folks like, if it's Andy Stanley or Joel Osteen or the Pope, or right on down the list, you know, folks that are supposed to be spiritual leaders, when they start to step outside of what the Scripture has to say, over and over and over, they just they destroy anything that could be considered Christianity. I watched Andy Stanley now about 3 years ago on a stage with Moore with the ERLC, Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission, Council, whatever, out of the Southern Baptist Convention. They were on a stage together in front of a huge audience, and I saw Andy Stanley begin to parse New Testament and Old Testament as though the Old Testament could be discounted or thrown away or it was irrelevant today. And I thought, the damage this fella is doing, you talk about divisive, but it's damaging, it's destructive, it's divisive to the body of Christ by undermining what he considers the Old Testament, by undermining the authority of Scripture there. He doesn't understand that he's undermining the whole. When you have the plenary, the complete Word of God, and you start pulling out pieces and saying this piece is irrelevant, well, who's to say that the next person says, well, you say that's irrelevant, I say this is irrelevant, therefore it's all irrelevant. When he pointed to, I think he pointed to specifically, he's saying college students, by the time they're in college for 2 years or 4 years, they've come to realize there's no support for there's no archaeological evidence of the Great Exodus. Therefore, you know, it's questionable. Basically, it could be there for other purposes and not necessarily historically true. Well, my word, my Bible, shows it as historically true. It shows it as being a part of the whole, a part of the whole story, the history, the that which God has given us as his word. If that is irrelevant, then Jesus can be made to be a liar. If stories like Jonah and the great fish, because Jesus himself references Jonah in the belly of the fish, and I'll be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. He uses the sign of Jonah and points to that authoritatively. So either Jesus was telling the truth, or the whole thing is a fabrication. And why is it that Andy Stanley doesn't realize that? Why is it that Joel Osteen will take the pulpit over and over, and it's not a scriptural authority that he uses, but some sort of a psychobabble authority that he uses? Do these folks not realize the damage they're doing?
Absolutely. In fact, Greg, you touched on that. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg Youngblood. I'm thankful that Greg is in the Word and studies the Word, and God uses him to teach the Word. He's now up in snow country. Of course, I understand the snow's a little bit melted, Greg, but in the southern tip of heaven, he calls it up in Tennessee, and I'm glad to have Greg join us on the broadcast today. Greg, you touched on Andy Stanley. Says Christians, here's an article, Christians must unhitch Old Testament from their faith, says Andy Stanley. Here is another statement about that. He said he's from the North Point Christian, North Point Community Church, senior pastor outside of Atlanta. And he stated Christians need to unhitch from the Old Testament from their faith. First century church leaders, he said, unhitched the church from the worldview, value system, and regulations of the Jewish scripture. He's talking about Jewish scripture. You look at the New Testament, most of the New Testament is written by Jewish believers. He further says Peter, James, and John, elected to unhitch the Christian faith from the Jewish scripture. And my friends, we must do so as well. That's a statement from Andy Stanley. And then Greg, he has another one that says, Andy Stanley says that the Ten Commandments do not apply to Christians today. Christians should quit erecting the Ten Commandments display at their churches and should instead consider making monuments dedicated to the Sermon on the Mount, according to the, quote, popular pastor Andy Stanley. Quote, if we're going to create a monument to stand as a testament to our faith, shouldn't it be at least a monument of something that actually applies to us? End quote. Greg, and for our listening audience, that's like taking a chair and saying, here's four legs to the chair, and I'm going to sit down in the chair, but by the way, I'm going to take the legs out from under it. If we take the legs, i.e. the Old Testament, out from under the scripture, we have no fundamental foundation to build any theological doctrine or truth in the New Testament. The Old Testament is the foundation for what we have in the New Testament.
Absolutely. He talks particularly about the law. Now, the law, let's say you throw that Ten Commandments out, how do we identify sin? And if we can't identify sin, how can we identify the need for a Savior, for a Redeemer? Now, you know, Galatians 3:24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Yes.
So there's no need in faith for a Savior, faith in a Redeemer, if there's no sin to start with, if there's no law that we've broken. I mean, so the whole thing is undermining the plenary Word of God, the complete Word of God. You can't have one without the other. And the devastation, you know, really, when you look at Andy Stanley, and I don't want to be demeaning. I think sometimes you have individuals that are so well-meaning, but they're so ignorant at the same time. We've got folks in Congress like that we see every day. Sometimes we laugh and sometimes we cry. But you have a responsibility, Andy Stanley, to be right. You must, as a teacher, understand you're held to a higher standard by God. This notion of we get to wing it or shoot from the hip. But sadly, Andy Stanley is where he is because he's riding on some giant coattails that his daddy Charles afforded him. If his name was Andy Smith, nobody would know who he is. Nobody would read his books. Nobody would go to his lectures. I said nobody.
Greg, hold on just a minute. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor, is it unscriptural to wear a face mask today?
That's a pretty good question, brother. Is it unscriptural? Well, it is unorthodox, as some would see it. In fact, it has become a prideful identification marker today. Started to get on the elevator the other day at a medical center, and I don't wear a mask, and started to get on the elevator, and people jumped away from me like I was had the plague or something. I said one day, I'm going to play Numbers 13 and 14, and when I go into a building, put my left hand over my mouth and my face and hold my right hand up and start screaming, unclean, 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 as the lepers were required to do so in the Old Testament dispensation in the early era of our Bible, and see what happens then. But some almost applied as though, look at me, I'm saved, I've got a mask on. You're right.
Well, I'm kind of afraid to go any further, but what about the argument that weaker brethren believe it is dangerous to not wear a face mask, so the rest of us should wear one so we don't offend our weaker brother?
Well, you're taking a scripture, and it would be, and I'm not demeaning you by saying so, it's scripture twisting. That's not what it says. Paul talked about eating meat. If eating meat's going to offend my brother, I'll eat no meat. And the meat he was talking about was that was offered in the shambles, as it was called, which was in the cult worship centers where they'd take a good T-bone steak, and it would be used in a ritual, a cultic ritual. And Paul says, I know there's nothing wrong with that T-bone steak. That New York strip looks pretty good. I'm going to eat it. But if eating it's going to make my weaker brother fall, I'm not going to eat it. But that does not have the connotation from the standpoint. We need to believe the truth and stand on the truth. And if we know that the whole thing with the masquerade is a lie, then as Christians, we ought to stand apart from that. As conservatives, we ought to stand apart from that. As those that believe that we've been deceived, we need to stand apart from that and say we're not going to bow, bend, or in any way look as though we believe the lie. But, yeah, I understand where you are, but we need to look at what the Scripture says and obey the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God.
Amen. Brother, thank you. Bless you. God bless you, Pastor.
Thank you. God bless you today. Greg, I'm looking at an article that says, why is sound doctrine so critical? The article reads in part, most churches have doctrinal statements, written creeds filled with absolutes. Modern culture downplays the importance of doctrine or rejects it as divisive and insensitive. Does it make a difference what the church teaches? Further, it says sound doctrine is crucially important. Perhaps we should define sound. In this article, this writer says it is meaning sound, solid, orthodoxy, conforming to biblical truth. Sound doctrine is teaching that agrees with the Bible. In fact, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, teach what accords with sound doctrine, Titus chapter 2, verse 1. We need to teach with sound doctrine. And as this writer puts it, it's so correct. Sound doctrine is teaching that agrees with the Bible. And so we're talking about doctrines that divide. And the reason so many doctrines divide, because it's not sound biblical teaching. What are your thoughts, Greg?
Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. The reality is, if it's not based in the Scripture, then it's false teaching. If it's Paul chided one church, don't believe any other doctrine that's been brought to you. Don't believe any teaching that doesn't agree with this. Throw it out. And by the way, I think about that. And Paul penned, I believe, 13 books in the New Testament.
14 out of the 27.
14. Okay, so I'm glad.
Yeah, because I equate the book of Hebrews to the Apostle Paul's pen.
I think you're right. Here's the thing. Years back, I had a young fella. I say young fella. He's just a couple years younger than me, so he's definitely a young fella. But he wanted to engage in a biblical debate with me. But he set up some prerequisites. He said, "But you can't use anything penned by Paul." He didn't say written by Paul, and you can't use any of the Old Testament. And I did some quick math, and I'm going, so 87% of the Scripture is off limits. But he wants to have a debate based on the Bible. In a sense, that's what folks like Andy Stanley, that's what folks like the Pope, that's what they've done. They started saying that some extraneous work is of more value, of more import, of more significance than the Bible. And if you're a believer, you're a Christian, and you start purport to be a Christian, and you start to use other things as superior authorities than the Bible, if you start leaning on a person as a superior authority over the Bible, you've taken a false doctrine and embraced it. You've gone with the wind, as so many have gone. You've got the Pope in recent years that has started saying that hell isn't real, and we don't necessarily need to accept Jesus Christ in order to go to heaven to be saved. Different things that are just far out. They don't resemble Christianity whatsoever. How can you be a Christian but not be Christ-like? If Jesus is not the central focus, if Jesus is not the central position, then what are you following? What are you listening to? Where is your authority? Where is truth?
Yes.
For the last caller, by the way, for the last caller, and he asked about masks, we as believers ought to speak the truth and love, and the primary truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But on the issue of the mask, sir, if you're still listening, reach out to me on Facebook, and I will send you a couple of links to the documents necessary for you to be able to explain to folks that about 99% of this mask wearing doesn't show efficacy. It doesn't have science behind it. You have a Fauci type out there saying you need to do this. Jacksonville, Florida. I don't know if they've extended it again. I don't know if Lenny Curry has extended it. He did. The cloth mask mandate. I want you to identify what is a cloth mask. Think about this, folks. What is a cloth mask? Well, that could be just about anything. I can pull my shirt up over my face, and that is a cloth mask. Now, is there any – give me the science behind if that is helping you to protect other people or protecting you from other people when it comes to the spread of a virus. Folks, there's the science isn't there. Now, if you take an N95 mask and glue it to your face, there's a little bit of science that supports that. But we're dealing with a virus. The folks that probably worked with this virus over in that Wuhan laboratory, I guarantee you, those folks are walking around in full level 3 hazmat-type suits, you know, with an isolated air supply or segregated air supply that prevented them from coming in contact with that virus at all until that one day that it either escaped or was put out. But in any case, if you're still listening or if you've got a question on that virus, reach out to me. I'll send you an instant message that will have a series of different documentaries and attached documents that will help you understand. And then you can share the truth in love with others rather than running around with a spirit of fear. And by the way, if you have conditions, secondary conditions, or you're of age and you think you need a mask, go get a good mask. Go get something that really protect you. I'm not giving medical advice. I'm giving you advice I would follow myself. This is what I would do, and you can do likewise, or you can just read the science and see. Make up your own mind. You know, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Use the sound mind God's given you to make your own mind up. And Mr. Curry, Mr. Lenny Curry, if you're listening, I've sent you those documentaries, and I've let you know we're praying for you and how the cloth mask mandate doesn't have any science to back it up. I mean, if you're going to do something, attach real science. If you're going to require somebody to wear a mask, give them, tell them that'll wear one that'll actually do something for them instead of this cloth mask mandate garbage.
That's right. Greg, by the way, you touched on just a little earlier about Pope Francis. Here's an article that says, Pope Francis says, Jesus Christ is not our hope. Mary and the Mother Church are. The article further reads, Pope Francis says, Jesus is not our hope. Mary and Mother Church are. And this is our hope. We're not orphans. We have mothers, Mother Mary, but the church is Mary, and Mother Church is anointed when it takes the same path of Jesus and Mary, the path of obedience, the path of suffering. And when she has the attitude of continually learning the path of the Lord, these two women, Mary and the church, carry on the hope that is in Christ, that give us Christ, that brings us forth Christ within us. Without Mary, there would be no Jesus. Without the church, we cannot go forward to heaven. Further, he says, Jesus has been demoted. Here this article writer says, Jesus has been demoted to the third place behind Mary, Mother, and the Holy Mother Church, the Roman Catholic Church. The Bible says, however, that the blessed hope of the Christian is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it goes further. Here's another article that says, the Lord's Prayer. Pope Francis says, and he calls for change. Pope Francis says, call for the translation of a phrase about temptation of the Lord's Prayer to be changed. The current wording says, lead us not into temptation. It is not a good translation, the Pope says, because God does not lead humans to sin at all. End quote. Greg, the Pope has said a lot of onerous things that caused me to ask the question, is the Pope saved? Is the Pope even Christian? Is the Pope even in the ballpark of being called Christian? He goes on to declare, here's an article, the Vatican, through the Pope, declares the Catholic Church is above the Bible. The Pope has the power to change times, to abrogate laws, and to dispense with all things, even the precepts of Christ. The Pope has the authority and often exercises it to dispense with the command of Christ, etc., etc., etc. The Pope claims to be infallible and equal with God. He places himself in a position where he portrays to the world that he is, in fact, God. The Catholic Church believes that the Bible is fallible and that the only thing that is authoritative is the Pope as he interprets it and as he has the power above the Bible. Now, Greg, I don't know about our listeners, but I know how I stand on that. And I have to ask the question, is the Pope saved? Can the Pope be saved and to believe that Jesus Christ is not God, that Jesus Christ is not divine, that the Lord's Prayer needs to be changed, not going and on? He believes the Bible is fallible and it needs to be updated, et cetera, et cetera. Speak to that for just a moment for our listeners, Greg, as to where we should view that as Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. You'd like to dive in at any point and join this discussion, we'd love to have you.
If the Pope or if anyone in the audience is reliant upon a relationship with Mary or reliant upon a relationship with their church to go to heaven, they're relying upon the wrong things. They followed a false doctrine. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The is an exclusive word. Matter of fact, you know, you got folks that, you know, you get tagged as a bigot because you think you got the right way, the only way. Well, you know, by that narrow definition of a bigot, then Jesus would be a bigot because he said, you know, this is the only, I am. Jesus says, I am the way. That's exclusive. There's no other way. There's no other name. There's no other name. Let's finish that verse for me.
Under which no other name given under heaven above men, Jesus, other than Jesus Christ.
Man, I am glad I've got a walking, talking Bible. I think when I hear you rattle, you'll finish a verse. I'll start a sentence, start a verse, and you finish it off, and generally give me the reference and tell me where it is in your Bible. You know, it's on the right page, right side, lower. I mean, Jack Van Impe had memorized his New Testament, I believe, and most of his Old Testament. And to me, you're right in that category. You've got these verses all down.
I hadn't even touched the hem of the garment compared to that man.
you are getting there. I don't think I'll ever catch up to you. That is for sure. But it gets me
right,
how individuals.
We've got about a minute. Let me touch on a couple of things and let you have the final comment. Here's an article that says Pope Francis tells Christians not to try to convert non-believers because we all go into heaven. Another article says Pope Francis, don't be afraid that God has allowed different religions into the world. And the Pope has said there's no such thing as hell. Speak to those two or three little things very quickly for us as we wrap up the broadcast today.
They've stepped outside the authority of Scripture. And when it comes to Mary and her place of high honor, she ought to be honored. She was honored and blessed by God. However, when Jesus referenced his own mother, they're pressing through the crowd to try to get to him. And he says, for whosoever, you know, they're saying, your mother's trying to get here. He says, whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. He put Mary in the same category with all the rest of us. And that scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, I quoted earlier, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It goes on. It says that the man of God shall be made perfect. That's mature, thoroughly furnished to all good works. If the authority doesn't come from scripture, there is no authority for the believer.
Very good. Greg, thank you so much for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.